Today's part 7 in the series, Breaking Every Addiction. And it is about breaking every form of addiction. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be chemical addiction. It can be an addiction to any form of immorality that you can think of, including, you know, internet pornography. Well, speaking of the internet, it can be just plain old computer addiction. There are a lot of people that, you know, that computer, it might as well have a needle connected directly into their arm because, you know, all day long they're getting their fix. And, just any kind of an addiction that exists. This series is about breaking free from every addiction. Now, last week we talked about a little bit about how the brain operates in all of this. How that when you're born, you have approximately 100 billion neurons or brain cells. And then from the time you're born and you begin having what you would call sensory input. Sensory input is anything that goes around. You're seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, just any form of sensory input. Teaching is a form of sensory input as a result of what I speak to you. I am instructing you. As we grow and develop this knowledge, we increase in just what we're being taught and so forth. Learning by example, you know, you taught little kids how they try to imitate their parents and so forth. Well, they've learned that because they observed it. That's what they see. And so as we begin to have this input, then the neurons begin producing these things called dendrites. Dendrites look kind of like little tree branches, and they reach out and they begin to connect to other brain cells, other neurons. And what they do with these dendrites is they transfer information back and forth. One brain cell can be connected to tens of thousands of other brain cells. And through all these connections, you can end up with over 100 trillion connections relative to one brain cell, which translates into the potential of 200 calculations per second per brain cell. That's a lot. You're quite intelligent. You didn't realize it, did you? Hallelujah. The more that we are given information, the more that information is passed back and forth through those dendrites in that brain. If we have information drilled into us relative to addiction, that is how we think. That is why it is so hard to get some people to think beyond their addicted state. Now, we're talking, this series is about Christians, okay? And so you have a lot of Christians, and I know we probably, maybe all encountered some like this, where you talk to them about, you know, what they're doing. It's like, well, you know, you need to stop. I know I need to stop, but I just can't. Well, why do they think they can't? Because that's the information that's being passed along these dendrites. That's what they know. And what I shared last week was that an addiction is, in part, an addiction is a pattern of thought. That's all it is. Because if you think you're addicted, you're addicted. And when I showed you in Scripture where it talks about how, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. So therefore, if I'm thinking in line with addiction, then it's going to be easier for me to accept that I am addicted more than it is to accept what God has said about me. And again, this series is about Christians. We're not talking about the lost. The greatest way to start breaking free from an addiction is to get born again. So in the Word of God, we see so many things relative to what God has done for us, what we have in Jesus and so forth, when it comes to addictions and breaking free. And yet, if we don't have that information, if you will, being passed back and forth through these dendrites, then it's just not going to be there. We won't think in line with it. Now, I want you to turn over to Isaiah 55. I want you to see something here. We've touched on this before, but I want to bring it up again relative to tying last week into today. In Isaiah 55, in verse 8, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So now here we have these incredible statements from God, you know, verses 8 through 11. This is a constant. Let me share something with you. Verses 8 and 11 are not bound by the law that was given back in Exodus. Verses 8 through 11 are an eternal constant. And it doesn't matter if you're living Old Testament or you're living New Testament. This is an eternal constant. So therefore, when God says, look, my thoughts are higher than yours, He did not say you have no hope of ever figuring out what it is I think. Because later in the New Testament, it talks about how that we have the mind of Christ. It talks about how that a lot of the things that were a mystery are now given to us by virtue of revelation. The Holy Spirit begins giving us this revelation. I mean, this is all in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But I want you to see something in this, just for the sake of this teaching. Look at verse 7, the verse that precedes everything we've just read. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, relative to this teaching, here's how we could look at this. Let the addicted forsake his way, and let the addicted turn from his thoughts. So if I turn from my thoughts, then whose thoughts am I supposed to be turning toward? God's thoughts. You say, well, yeah, but how do you get God's thoughts? Well, that's a good question. We also have a good answer. The Bible is a revelation of God's thinking. This is how God thinks, and He's given it to us in writing. And when we get into the Word of God, even though it appears as black ink on white paper, and then sometimes the words of Jesus, you know, red ink on white paper, the bottom line is, all of this originated with God. Now, what that means is, in God's mind, He had His thoughts that were translated out of Him to men, and men wrote it down. Now we have the Bible. Since all of this originated from God, what it literally means is that every single letter, let alone the words and the sentences and the paragraphs, but every single letter is anointed. Every single one. There's no exception to this. If you believe that this is the Word of God, that it came from God, that means every single, you know, we added the periods later on, but for the sake of teaching, every period is anointed. Every jot and tittle, as Jesus referenced, it's all anointed. Now, I want you to think about it. If it's all anointed, and I read it, what am I doing? I am inputting anointing into my brain cells, and that anointing then begins getting passed through the dendrites from cell to cell. Now listen, I already know this sounds weird to a lot of people. I know that. But yet, and we've already studied about the Word of God, how shall a man cleanse his ways by taking heed unto thy word? How shall I make a difference and change my life by taking heed to the Word of God? And so on. I mean, it's all in here. It's all in here. So therefore, now here's one for you. You know, when God gave the Word and they began writing it down before Matthew ever came along. You know, in other words, before we got to the New Testament. But yet they had the scrolls. They had Isaiah. Remember that? They had, you know, the Pentateuch. They had basically the Old Testament in writing. Do you understand it was just anointed then as it is now? Now listen to me. It was just as anointed then as it is now because it came from the same source. Well, do you understand that every time those people began to read those scrolls, anointing was touching their brains? Now, they weren't born again. But anointing was still... This is a hard thing for some people to catch on to, and I'll tell you why. It's because we have become so jaded over the years in thinking that unless you're born again and unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can never in any way, shape, or form ever touch God's anointing. I challenge you with that. You go back and you read the Old Testament. There, the Holy Spirit, I mean, it talks about the Holy Spirit rested upon people and they were empowered for a move of God. Well, what do you call that? Come on. So that means when these guys were reading this back in, you know, 1,000 years before Jesus showed up, whatever had been written down by that time, and they're reading it, do you understand it was anointed? And there was anointing being passed to their minds, to their brain. Even though they weren't born again, they were still coming in contact with anointing. Now, the more that we do that, we are no longer hearing... Let me say this. Instead of hearing, you're addicted, you're addicted, you're hooked. Whatever it would be, whatever the addiction is, doesn't matter. Instead of hearing that, you know what I'm hearing here? You're free. Now listen to me. Every word that is sown into my life which declares you're addicted is not anointed. But every word that comes from God is anointed. Therefore, the more I introduce His Word into my mind begins to be transformed and renewed. Which is exactly what Paul wrote about over there in Romans chapter 12. Be renewed by the transforming, or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That process is taking place. And I shared last week that all you have to do is just sit and read. Yeah, but I don't understand some of those big words. Don't worry about that. Just sit and read. But I can't even pronounce some of those. Do your best. Just sit and read. And you don't even have to worry about the dictionaries and the lexicons. Just read. That's all. Just read. Well, what difference does that make? Have you not heard a word I've said so far? As you read this, you are introduced. That's why God put it in writing. Well, that's one reason. So we'd have this record and so we could partake. You know, oh, I just want a greater anointing. No problem. Read your Bible. Because if you believe it came from God, it is anointed. You can't separate His Word from Him. So therefore, yeah, you begin to read this, or you begin to put it into your mind, and what happens is this. Let me just kind of present this imagery. You're creating new dendrites that are carrying anointing, and I'm telling you, the anointing of this truth being passed through your brain is greater than the anointing of every lie that says you're addicted. Variation on the theme. Greater is His Word in my brain than the world's words in my brain. You keep doing this, and it begins to transform your way of thinking, and you're going to start thinking of yourself the way God thinks of you. Because, see, when you got born again, you already had a foundation from which to begin thinking like this. That born-again life gave you the ability to operate according to the mind of Christ. Now, what we want to do is kind of take this a step further. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now we're going to see what God did. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, no, wait a minute. And God thought, and then said, you see this? He spoke out of His thoughts. God thought and then said, God made a declaration of what He wanted. Let there be light, and there was light. Now this continues all throughout Genesis. And God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. And God said. In other words, God had these thoughts in His mind, but the thoughts alone did not produce the fullness of the change that He desired. As He began to speak what was in His mind, change began to take place. And it was a change unlike anything that had ever occurred, ever, period. Because, and this is where it really gets out there, Before he spoke this, there was no universe. The realm in which we live did not exist. There was no outer space. There were no planets. There were no stars. There were no suns. There was no earth. He created space where there was no space. Now listen, the physics of this world say that cannot happen. But the physics of the Spirit say it can be. And God began to speak. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure hope he recorded that. I want to see that DVD when we get to heaven. See, I bet you he's got a big screen TV up there. Surround sound. I'm serious. I want to see him create space. I want to see him create three dimensions where there were no dimensions. I want to see this happen. Now, when I get there and I'm in his presence, I may forget all about this. But right now, the way I think about it, I want to see him do this. You know, show me how that you spoke and animals were formed out of water. Read Genesis chapter 1. Nobody sowed grass seed and yet you spoke and stuff starts growing. Now, he went on in Genesis chapter 1 to talk. In fact, look here in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, if God says, "Let us create man in our image and in our likeness," those words in the original language literally mean, you know, let us create man to look like and act like us. Okay, now, let's forget about the look like part, okay? I got a feeling we fall way short of that. But let's talk about the act like part. What do we see leading up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God said, "Let us make man"? What we see is God speaking and bringing about, literally, miraculous change in the existence of whatever existed, the spirit world. He created space in the spirit world by speaking, and that space in the spirit world is occupied by what we call the natural world. Now, to take this further, look over in Psalm chapter 33. So if I'm created in His image and His likeness, and that means in part that I'm supposed to act like Him, and I see that He spoke these things into existence, shouldn't that clue us in to what we're supposed to be doing relative to what we say? Look in Psalm 33, verse 6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Okay, now, you see where it says the breath of His mouth? What do you think that means?
Well, you know, Brother Martin, breath.
Breath. Okay, so, breath. What you're saying then is, you know, like when we breathe out, you know, the oxygen and the nitrogen and the carbon dioxide and the water vapor, you know, that's what you...
Yes, Brother Martin, you got it now.
Well, there's a real problem with that. Because when God started speaking, back in Genesis, creating the heaven and the earth and all that, there was no oxygen, there was no nitrogen, there was no carbon dioxide, and there were no water vapors. It didn't exist until after He created it. So, what was this breath?
I don't know, Brother Martin, I don't know.
Let me summarize it by this. You know what that breath was? It was anointing released. I don't know how else to describe it. That's a spiritual concept. I'm having a hard time envisioning the fullness of that myself. But it wasn't oxygen. Trust me. Listen, God is, His existence, His ability to live is not dependent upon Him breathing in and exhaling what He created. Because how did He exist before He created it? If you need something to live, and that something doesn't come into existence until you create it, then how can you live long enough to create it so you can keep living? food for thought. Hallelujah. So he creates everything. It's not earth breath. It's anointing. That's the best way I can describe it. Now look over in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we'll see more of this a little bit differently. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. What does that word beginning mean? It means at the point that everything we know came into existence. At the point of creation. At the point when God started creating everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. See this? So we're seeing more about this creation process, but there's something interesting here that I want to point out. He created everything, verses 1 through 3, but then in verse 4 it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So what we see right here is a direct connection between light and life. Now again, don't think in terms of light bulbs, okay? That's not the light we're talking about. In Him was light, and the light was the life of men. Direct correlation and connection between light and life. Now look back over in Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119. And take a look here. Just one verse. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So where it says here, the entrance of thy words giveth light, what have we talked about already? We've talked about the fact that God created everything, and in Him, speaking of Jesus, the Word, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was light, and the light was the light of men. I mean, it back and forth, either way. And then it says right here, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Well, if the entrance of His words giveth light, and the light was the life, that means the entrance of the words giveth life. Therefore, until His words enter, I do not have the life He's speaking of. Now, relative to addiction, addiction in and of itself is a type of death. Talk to anybody who's ever been addicted to anything, and they feel enslaved. Especially if part of them wants to break free and the other part just keeps clinging on to it. Doesn't matter what the addiction is. There's that struggle. I just don't feel like I can. I feel terrible. In other words, right now what's operating in them is death. You understand? They can be born again, but that state of addiction is a type of death because this is how they're thinking. This is their perception. But the entrance of God's Word gives light, or it gives life. So now, as they get into the Word of God, life is filling their insides, if you will, filling their mind. And as that life is filling their mind, it begins overpowering the death thoughts, if you will, of I'm addicted, I can't break free, I wish it was that easy, I just wish. The power, and that's exactly what it talks about over there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides asunder, you know, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So what happens is, the life of the Word, how many of you saw Star Wars, they had that light saber? Okay, think in terms of when you put the Word of God in you, you're putting a life saber inside your brain. It's a light life saber. And it's cutting, away all addiction thoughts. Because if it's not of God, it's not life. If it's not life, it's death. So we've got part of our brain being occupied by death thoughts. You understand what I mean by that? Well, the entrance of His Word has given me life. So now, I've got 22 years of addiction thoughts. Death thoughts. Now I've got 5 minutes of life thoughts, light thoughts with me. Now, yeah, the Word's powerful. But do you think I need more than just 5 minutes? This word entrance, it gives the image of an ongoing process, not a one-time event, an ongoing process. Now, look over in Hebrews chapter 1 to continue this. Hebrews chapter 1. And in verse 1 it says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down to the right hand of the Majesty on high, and then it goes on and talks about this, but what I want you to see is that He upholds all things by the word of His power. The power is inherent, but the word produces a reaction. So the imagery here is that He's created everything, and everything is sustained by that word that He spoke. Eliminate the word, and you eliminate existence. Now this will mess you up. If He were to suddenly withdraw His word that He spoke back there in Genesis, everything that we know would cease to exist, including us. There would be no universe. Now that's weird. There'd be no universe. So what would we do with the big hole? Well, there would be no hole. There would be nothing. Because it says right here, upholding. That word upholding in the Greek means to bring forth and sustain. So He brought it forth there in Genesis. Now it's being sustained. Not the way He would like it to be sustained, but there is a continuity of existence because of the fact that His word still exists. Now in this, if the entrance of His word brings light and life to me to help me get away from the addiction or to stop doing it, then not only will the entrance of His word bring me that life so that I walk free, completely free, the way He has said of the addiction, but the entrance of His word, entrance, ongoing process, it will continue to sustain me in this freedom. This is why a lot of Christians, it seems like they got deliverance and then 3 weeks later they're back into it again. They're not doing anything to sustain the freedom. They're not doing anything to, you know, fight the good fight of faith, if you will. So here we see that there is not only a bringing forth of the freedom, but a sustaining of the freedom as well. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to see this principle brought home in a very unique way. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, look in verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now for a long time, I thought that this verse 3 was talking about Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be, and there was. But when you leave verse 3 in the context, really, of verses 9, 10, and 11, this is not talking about the planets and the stars and the universes. This word worlds, what it literally means is an age or a period of time. Now where it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, for by it, by what? Faith. The elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well then what's interesting is that beginning in verse 4, it talks about all these guys, all throughout the Old Testament, who took the word of God and completely changed their circumstances. Completely. And it talks about, well, for example, Noah. Noah heard the word of God, but then he acted according to what he had received. When he acted according to what he had received, what did he do? He built an ark. Aren't we glad he did? Because God said, the flood is coming. It would be wise for you to build this ark because the flood is coming. So he begins to build the ark, and you know the rest of the story. He completely changed the structure of the age in which he lived by building that ark because he and his family escaped. Animals escaped destruction and so on and so forth. And on it goes. It talks about how different people, they received the word of God and they changed their circumstances. They changed the things that were going on in their life by virtue of the Word of God. Now, I've got a teaching series that goes in great detail about this entitled Framing Your World. So I would encourage you, you know, you can get that series. But the point I'm trying to make is this. What God is saying is, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, is you doing what I did in Genesis chapter 1. Remember what God said. Let us make man in our image and likeness. And how that literally means to look like and act like us. So God's there in Genesis and he says, okay, now look, I'm going to set the example for you. Here's what you do. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be this. Let there be that. Let there be this. And he speaks and speaks and speaks and he speaks and he says, and then I'm going to give you a reminder of it over there in Psalms. How that I spoke and everything came into existence. Now you're created in my image and my likeness. Therefore, since my word will not return void, if you will take what I have given you and you begin to apply it according to the pattern I have set for you, you will then begin to change your world. You will begin to change your life. You will begin to change your circumstances because my word cannot return void. If I say you're free and you take that word of freedom and apply it to your life, you will frame the world of your life into a world of freedom. If I have said this about you and you take that word and you apply it to your life and you do it according to my pattern, the example I set for you back there in Genesis, because you're created in my likeness and image. Now please let this sink in, because what he is saying is this. The only way that you're going to fully accomplish everything that I want you to accomplish is to do it according to the pattern and example I have set before you. What is that pattern and example? Whatever is in you, speak it to receive and see the results. This is why when you have people that constantly talk about, I'm addicted, I'm addicted, I'm addicted, I can't stop, it's no use, I've tried, 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 nothing works. Is it working? That's because they're framing their world with failure and addiction. But if you, and those words aren't anointed, but they're powerful. But then if you turn around, and remember, follow the pattern of God. And this is where so many people that just criticize, you know, the word and faith movement. I know there's been a lot of abuse as far as the prosperity and so on and so forth. But a lot of people say, well, all that confession stuff, that's crazy. That confession stuff is nuts. And yet, you can't even get out of the first chapter of Genesis when God is telling you this is a pattern for your life. When he says, I'm going to create man after my likeness and my image. What he's saying is, if you will follow the pattern I've set for you, you know, like father, like son, if that will become a truth for you, then you're going to understand you can take my words, not the words of this world, not the words the way the world thinketh. But if you will take my words, which are the way that I think, and you begin to take them, put them into your life, you're not only going to begin to change your thought patterns about what you believe concerning who you are and your freedom and your deliverance and the fact that I don't call you addicted, I call you free. He says, and then you begin to speak that. You begin to release that. You begin to confess that. Then you're following the pattern that I first established in Genesis chapter 1. Well, I just don't believe that. Okay, then let me ask you a question. What and who do you believe? I'm serious. If you don't believe that, what and who do you believe? I just don't believe that works. Okay, now wait a minute. Based on what you just said, you tell me where in Scripture it says it doesn't work. Now remember, hold on here. Did not Jesus Christ, you know, your Savior, did he not say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God? Did he not say that? Therefore, if I'm going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, it would help me to start in Genesis where he says, I'm going to make you to operate the way that I operate. Here's the example. Speak and see the results. But what you speak needs to be my word if you want to see my results. What you speak needs to line up with what I've already declared. Now, here's something interesting. Once you get past Genesis chapter 1, You're hard-pressed to find anywhere in the entire Bible where God once again does what he did in Genesis chapter 1. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, let me say it a little bit differently. Once you get past Genesis chapter 1, the pattern that you find, really, from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis chapter 2 to Revelation, is God telling man what to say. He's not saying it anymore. Why? Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let him have dominion over the works of our hands. And so what you see is a shift. And God is saying, hey, listen, this is how it works now. Since I've given you the dominion, I know you want to see my kind of results. So, since you really have no clue what to say at this point, remember, man fell and everything got messed up, God said, I'll tell you what to say. Now, when we get into praying in the Spirit, this principle is still the same. When I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm opening my mouth and I'm praying in that language that God has given to me, but I'm not creating the words. It's the Holy Spirit in me creating the words and telling me what to say. And so God says, look, just follow my pattern. Just do this and you're going to get these results. Let me have you look at another place here. Turn over to... I already referenced it. You don't have to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Sharper than a two-edged sword. When the Word of God is in there and it's creating these new thought paths, if you will, through the dendrites and all this connection. And remember I shared last week how this is how God created the brain to operate. You know, think about it like this. You may put lousy gas in the gas tank of your car, but eventually it's going to end up in your carburetor or, you know, whatever they have. I don't work on cars. I know they don't have carburetors nowadays, your fuel injectors, okay? It's going to end up in your fuel injectors, and your car's going to get messed up with cheap gas. You understand what I'm saying? And you say, I don't understand this. This car, I put gas in the car. And the mechanic says, well, yeah, but you put lousy gas in the car. Yes, but I put it back here in the back end. I didn't put it up here. He says, no, you don't understand. When you put it in back there, it worked its way up to the engine. That's why your engine's messed up. Likewise, if you put lousy gas in your brain, you're going to end up with things. This is why so many people, Christians, can't seem to figure out why nothing's changing. I don't understand why nothing changes in my life. Well, if you'd feed yourself the Word of God, your thought patterns would begin to change. You begin to understand why things aren't changing, but then you begin to see things change. Because then you'd know how to think. You'd be thinking the way God. Because, in fact, I talked to God, I've shared this before. I talked to God one time, and I asked him, why is it so many Christians have so many problems with their thought life? And he says, well, because they're not thinking the way that I think. He said, my word is a revelation of the way I think. If they put more of my word in their minds, they'd start thinking in line with the way I think, and they'd stop having problems in their thought life. I struggle with lust. Lust didn't come from God. But if you start filling your brain cells with the word of God, the power of this life, and by the way, these words are righteous words. You understand that? The power of this life and this righteousness will begin to flood your mind in such a way to where you're not going to struggle with thoughts, lust thoughts anymore. You're not. Lust can be a habit. It can be an addiction. But you're not going to. Here's the doggone thing about this. It sounds like such a crazy pipe dream to too many Christians. Well, I just wish it were like that. Well, according to the Word of God, it is like that. And yet what we do, get this. We take our brothers and sisters in Christ and we send them to therapists and counselors that are doing everything they can according to the world's way of doing things. Well, let's talk about where this addiction started. Were your parents addicted? Was your mother addicted? Was there addiction in the... Were you abused? Man, I don't care about my family, my mom, my dad. I just want to be free. You know, forget them. They're not in here today. We're talking about me. Yes, but we need to delve into your past. It ain't my past that's addicted. It's my present that's struggling.
Well, you're not being very cooperative, sir.
And for good reason, because you ain't being very helpful. We send people to therapists like that. We need to find people who will feed the Word of God down their spiritual gullet. That's what you need. Listen, the only true freedom that you're going to have and live in is whatever has been established in the Word of God. And boy, I tell you, it's so hard to get this across to people. It's because we are so inundated by a natural world, it's like we just don't get it. The Spirit dominates the natural world. It can be the things of the enemy or the things of God. But one way or the other, it dominates. And I don't know, well, I don't want to say too much on that.
About what?
I think God may be birthing another series. Never taught three at one time. Anyway. Now, I have some confessions here. Relative to breaking free of addictions. Listen, the Word of God is no respecter of addictions. It will help you be free from any of them. It doesn't matter. Now, what I'm going to do, these are not very long, about a page and a half. And the reason they're like that is because sometimes when people are dealing with certain types of addictions, their attention span is very short. So these are going to be very short and sweet. I'm going to read through these, and I'm asking you to confess these along with me so that these are recorded for this message. That way, people who listen to this later on will be able to go to the track where the confessions start and confess right along with this. Now, as far as addictions are concerned, there's just a blank space in here. When we get to those, I will say blank addiction. Okay? Now, you can say blank right along with me. But if you're confessing these relative to, yeah, I need to apply this to my life, then don't say blank. Just say, you know, pornography or alcohol or cigarettes or, you know, whatever it is that you're dealing with. And what I'm going to do is not actually read the verses, but read the references from Scripture that were used to put these confessions together. And you can check it out later for yourself and see how I patterned this. And there are copies that will be available. And this the first one comes from Romans 10, 9 through 13, Hebrews 7, 25, Colossians 2, 10, and 2 Corinthians 5, 21. So now just repeat these after me. Jesus,
you
are my Lord, and I know that God raised you from the dead.
Thank you for saving me to the uttermost,
and for making intercession
unto God on my behalf.
You have saved me from the shame of blank addiction,
and my salvation is complete.
There is nothing lacking
in the life that I have received from you.
You bore the sin of blank addiction,
and I am now the righteousness of God.
There is nothing about my life in you,
or my salvation,
or my righteousness
that can be addicted to anything.
I am saved from all forms of addiction. This next comes from Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10.
Father God,
I thank you for honoring my faith
and giving to me
the gift of salvation
out of your grace.
I know
that none of my works
earned me this salvation,
and it is by your grace
that I am totally saved
and delivered
from addiction to blank.
I am your workmanship,
created in Christ Jesus.
And your work in me
is why I am completely free from blank addiction. It is your will that I live every day according to who I am in Christ. Therefore, I declare that I live every day free from blank addiction. This next one comes from Romans 5:20. Your word makes it clear that blank addiction is sin. But your grace is greater and more powerful than any addiction. It is because of the abundance of your grace that I live totally free from blank addiction. And this is from Romans 6, verses 6 through 14 and 1 Corinthians 9, 27. My old sin nature was crucified with you, Jesus. And the sin of blank addiction was completely destroyed. I no longer serve that addiction. I am dead to that addiction and totally free from its influence. You died on my behalf, and that addiction died with you. Now I live daily with you, and blank addiction has no control over me. I am dead to that habit and behavior, and it has no more control over me. Because of you, Jesus, I am alive unto God. No addiction of any kind reigns in my body. I never give in to the temptations presented to me by any addiction. I do not yield to the lure of any addiction, but rather I daily submit to the will of God and live as an example of the righteousness you have made me. I have total control over my body. It is subject unto me. And the sin of blank addiction does not have dominion over me. Because of what you have done in me, I am not under the law of an addiction, but I am under the authority of God's grace. And this next comes from Romans 8, verses 1 through 2, verse 6, and 10 through 17. Jesus, I am in you, and I no longer walk according to the desires of the flesh. The law of the Spirit of life in you has made me free from blank addiction, and it no longer works condemnation in my life. Even my mind is free from the thoughts of blank addiction, and now my mind is filled with your life and peace. Jesus, your life is in me. And my body is as good as dead when it comes to controlling my life. However, I am alive with your Spirit of life and righteousness. The life of God that raised you from the dead is now in me. I am no longer enslaved by blank addiction to live according to its desires. That addiction no longer works any kind of death in me. And through the power of your life in me, I dominate all wrong desires. Father, I am your child and live every day according to the righteousness
of your life in me.
You have not given me a spirit that can be enslaved
or addicted
to anything.
You have given me
your own spirit,
and I am now your child.
Holy Spirit,
I thank you for daily confirming to me
that I am literally God's offspring
and a joint heir with Jesus.
God,
I praise you
that my inheritance includes
being completely free from blank addiction.
And this one's Romans 7, verse 4. Through the body of Christ,
I am dead to the control
of blank addiction,
and now my life
daily bears fruit
that is pleasing unto you, God.
And now John 17, verses 21 through 24.
I am in Christ,
and He is in me.
I am one with God.
Father, I thank you
for giving to me
the same glory
that you gave Jesus.
I am made perfect in you.
I am an example to the world
of someone who lives in the love of God
and is not hindered by blank addiction.
I praise you for daily giving me
a new revelation
of your glory and my deliverance.
And this is from Ephesians 2, 1 through 7.
I no longer live
in the dead life of blank addiction,
and I am no longer deceived
by the devils that influenced me
into blank addiction.
I do not fulfill
the lusts of that addiction,
and it does not impair
the way I think.
My nature has changed,
and I have the life of God.
Father, I thank you
for being rich in mercy toward me,
and for your great love
wherewith you love me.
By your grace,
you have saved me
and given me the life of Christ.
You have raised me up
above blank addiction,
and I am now seated
with Jesus at your right hand.
Every day,
I live in the exceeding riches of your grace,
by which I live free from blank addiction.
And this last set is from Philippians 4:13, 1 John 4:13, and John 8:36.
Jesus,
I do all things
through your life and anointing in me
that strengthens me.
It is by that strength
that I live every day
free from blank addiction.
As you are,
so am I in the world.
You are not addicted to anything.
I am not addicted to anything.
You have made me totally,
completely,
100%
free
from blank addiction,
and I am free indeed.
Praise God.